And so I bid you all grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. My brothers and sisters in Christ, and it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So every so often I get asked, what's the big deal about Pentecost anyway? I mean, you know, we get why Jesus' birth gets a lot of attention at Christmas, and we get why the resurrection is such a big deal at Pascha or Easter, even if 7 weeks of the Paschal season sometimes seems to drag on a bit. But Pentecost, and the tongues of flame and the speaking in different languages is great all, but why did the ancient church elevate Pentecost to the same status as Christmas and Easter? I suppose part of our problem is that we're a little shy in talking about the Holy Spirit for fear that we might all run off and become charismatics. And the attempt a few decades back to try and rescue enthusiasm for Pentecost by calling it the church's birthday doesn't really help, because it is not the church's birthday. Remember, the church simply is all of God's faithful people in every time, every place. The church was Adam and Eve before the fall. The church was Noah and his family on the ark. The church was Abraham and his household who believed Yahweh and it was reckoned to them as righteousness. The church was the faithful remnant of Israel. And obviously, the church continues today as all believers in Christ. So we can't take the church was born on the day of Pentecost without doing violence to the witness of Scripture. So then, why all this fuss about Pentecost? Because it's the inauguration of the last days. With Jesus' work completed, his incarnation, his birth, his righteous life, his innocent death, his glorious resurrection and ascension to the Father's right hand, with that complete and fulfilled, all was at last ready for his work to be proclaimed to all nations, so that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord would be saved. And the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost that empowered that proclamation meant that the final chapter of human history was begun. God's final work to gather all who would come to his Son by the Spirit so that they would be given life and restored to communion with him. Beginning with Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit is at work seeking to convict hearts of those who hear that the Father has indeed made Jesus of Nazareth both Lord and Christ. And that is no small thing. For what that means, as we heard Paul proclaim in Athens the other week, is that the Father has appointed Jesus as the judge of all flesh, and that leaves all men and women with only two roads. You can come to the judge in faith, or you can come in fear. But how does one end up on one road or the other? Well, this is where we need to hear the rest of Peter's sermon from the day of Pentecost. So let me pick up in Acts chapter 2 where we left off in our second reading, starting at verse 22. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope, for you will not abandon my soul to Hades or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we all are witnesses, being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus, whom you crucified. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. The promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. The miracle of the day of Pentecost that we stand in proper awe of is the beginning that morning and ever since God, by the Holy Spirit, in words that rang and still ring with soul-shaking clarity, God calls all to himself through the dead, risen, and ascended Lord, because in him is life, in him is forgiveness, in him is restored communion with the Father. Until the day of Pentecost, the temple had been the place where the nations could come to encounter the living God. But now, with the sound of the rushing wind and the tongues of fire and the disciples telling of the mighty works of God in Christ, the church, as Christ's body, is where the Spirit brings the nations to the living God, even Christ the Lord, through word and sacrament. The Spirit brought us here, my friends, and nourishes and strengthens us as we are forgiven and fashioned ever more fully into the image of Christ that we were reborn to be through the waters of holy baptism. And that is why in the church to this day, we are given to devote ourselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, which is holy communion, and the prayers or formal worship. This is how the Spirit brings Christ and his gifts to us and brings us to Christ and his gifts, so that we may receive them as our own. For we are in the last days. Just as Noah and his family knew that the ancient world was under a sentence of judgment, we see all around us a world grown old and sick that cannot go on like this forever. And so we take shelter in the ark of the church. And because Jesus and the Spirit, because of that, we receive the good word. Be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We receive that word, and as Christ's church, empowered by the Spirit, we hand that word on to those around us in joy and hope. I came across an article the other week that made a very keen observation about how Pentecost stands in contrast to Israel's experience at Sinai. You may remember that when God came to Sinai, he came down in fire and thick darkness, and when Moses went up to him to receive the commandments, after Moses was gone for 40 days, Israel sinned, worshiping the golden calf. And the word that came down from the fire through Moses condemned 3,000 to death. But at Pentecost, as God the Holy Spirit came with the sound of wind and the tongues of fire, the word spoken by Peter promised forgiveness in Christ, and 3,000 repented, were baptized, and saved. What's the big deal about Pentecost? This is the day that we are called to acknowledge that the word of the gospel is the power of God unto salvation for all who believe. For the Holy Spirit calls all and seeks all and works to move all to trust in Christ's mercy and love, even as we are set before the world as witnesses to surpassing grace. Alleluia. Amen. And now may that peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until the glorious day of his appearing. Amen.